Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Assalamualaikum warahmatullahi wabarakatuh. Alhamdulillah wassalatu wassalamu ala Rasulillah wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. And now, first of all, I'm honored and I'm delighted, I'm happy to be with you this morning. And certainly I would like you to open the Quran later on, because my speech basically will be based on verses in the Holy Quran. And the topic I think today that we are going to discuss is about many things, but primarily on the importance of obedience of the parents, obeying the parents. Now, something funny? First of all, let me ask you these questions. When you wake up this morning, what is the first thing that came to your mind when you woke up this morning? What do you have in mind? Let me ask you that question. Anybody can tell me something? Yes. Nothing. Nothing is think. Yes. I'm not talking about what you did, I'm not talking about what you want to do, but I'm talking about, because it is simply impossible that someone wakes up without any thinking. As long as you're alive, you have something in mind. Okay, as long as you're awake, not sleeping, and not dying, you are having something in your mind. Right now you are listening to me and looking at me. Certainly you have something in mind. Okay, either it is paying attention to my speech, to my words, or you may think something else. Right, but you must have something in mind. So when you woke up this morning, everybody has certain in mind. Okay? But for Muslims, what is supposedly to be the best one and the first one to think when we woke up in the morning? Say again? To thank? Wonderful. Anything else you want to say, girls? What is supposedly to be had in mind when you wake up in the morning? That is the absolute answer. So the absolute answer is that's to thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's why the Muslims, when you wake up in the morning, the first thing to say is, what is the dua? Alhamdulillahi alladhi. Oh, nobody memorized this dua? You know it? But forgot it. Okay. So supposedly a Muslim will say, what is that? Say. Supposedly a Muslim will say when you wake up in the morning, Alhamdulillahi alladhi ahyana ba'dama amatana wa ilayhi nushur. Praise be to Allah. Alhamdulillah. Praise be to Allah. The one who ahyana, the one who gave me back my life. Okay, why we say we thank the one who gave us back our life? Because when we sleep, we are basically half dying. That is a sister of death. And if you are sleeping, if you sleep deep, very deep, and someone is coming to you pinching you, you don't feel it. Okay, so your little girl, your little sister come and pinch you, you don't feel it. Because at that moment, basically, you are kind of half dying. Okay? And that's why a naum or sleep is considered in Islam sister of death. So when we wake up, we say, Alhamdulillah alladhi ahyana, praise be to Allah, the one who gave us back our life, ba'dama amatana, after our death, after finishing the death. So it's coming back again to the normal life. Okay, your feelings, your thinking coming back. When you sleep, you don't think. Okay? And that is the moment that you lose your minds. As long as you wake up, you have your mind thinking anything. Thinking about donut, thinking about ice cream, candy, bubble gum, whatever we have in mind. All these are signs of life, that you are still alive. Okay? Now, the point I'm mentioning this, Because very, very important for you to realize and to understand that everything happens in life must be because someone else behind it. Now, if I'm asking you why you're here, who brought you here, you may say your fathers or your mothers drove you, right? Is it true?
No.
So what is the true answer? Allah. But how are you going to explain that? Okay. You got the absolute answer. And the absolute one is Allah. Because if Allah doesn't want, it doesn't happen, by the way. You see, your father is falling sick. Okay. Your mother's might be busy somewhere else. Maybe shopping or cooking. So she doesn't have any time to bring you here. So you'll not be here today. Okay, maybe you say, I can walk, I can take public transportation. What happens if something happens on the way? I mean, anything can happen if Allah wills. The point is that anything happens in life, that's what Muslims believe. There must be someone who designs it, and someone who decides it, someone who determines it. Okay, decisions. And the final decision must be from someone who created us. Now, when someone is eating, and finishing eating, what we say? What we say as Muslims? When you finish eating? Anyone knows? Yeah. Alhamdu. Ata'amana wa. Waja'alna min al-Muslimin. So, Alhamdu lillahi alladhi ata'amana wa saqana wa ja'alana Muslimin. Now again here, you realize the meaning of that dua. Praise be to Allah, the one who gave us food, fed us, the one who fed us. So your mother is cooking, but the one who basically gives you food as a final one, who is that? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Your mother basically is just a means for you. Because it can happen that your mother doesn't give you food. If your mother doesn't have anything to cook, if your mother is sick and cannot cook, okay? So there must be someone who is behind as an absolute decider, as the absolute being to decide, that everything is being decided by the one who created us. So even when you eat, you say, Alhamdulillahi, alladhi ahwi ahyana. Praise be to Allah, the one who, ata'amana, the one who fed us. Feedings, okay? Wasaqana, and give us drink. Okay, you can go to the grocery, buy the drink. But then you ask many questions afterward. Who gave me the money? My dad. Who gave the money to my dad? The job. Who gave the job to your dad? There are many questions behind it. So there must be the ultimate answer to that. And the ultimate answer is Allah. Okay, and that is the dua when you say, when you finished eating, Alhamdulillahi alladhi ahyana, ata'amana wa saqana wa ja'alana muslimin. Okay? So the final and the real factors of everything in life is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's why we said that Muslims believe that nothing else happens in life but the wills of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay? Are you healthy? Healthy or sick? Boys, are you healthy? Good. Girls, are you healthy? Everybody? Okay. Now health comes from whom? Allah. You do exercise. There are many people who are doing exercise around and still sick. It's very, very important to do exercise. Okay, I'm starting this because this is a very important for everyone to know. That we do believe in Allah as the source of everything. Okay? In the Holy Quran he says, "Huwa alladhi at'amakum min ju' wa amanakum min khawf." Allah is the one who feeds you from hunger, okay, and secure from insecurities. Okay, the one who gives you food. When you are hungry, is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You're going to the school, certainly you are learning. But the one who is teaching you is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why? Because He is the source of all knowledge. Okay? You have been born knowingly nothing. You don't know anything. When you're a small baby, you don't know anything. And now you know sort of things. You know 1 plus 1 is 2, 3 plus 2 is 6 or 5? 5, okay. 5 plus 8 is... 5 plus 8 is... 13 or 18?
13.
13, okay. So now you know the math, right? Okay. When you were a baby, like 1 year old or 2 years old, did you know all this?
No.
So now you said that, okay, my mother taught me that. My mother taught me 1 plus 1 is 1, 1 plus 1 plus 1 is 3, it's not 1, okay? So now you have that kind of knowledge in your mind. Now, for Muslims, we do believe, Al-Quran says, Allam al-insan, that the one who teaches man is God, is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So there is a verse in the Al-Quran says, Ar-Rahman, Allah is the merciful. Allam al-Quran, the one who teaches us Quran. Okay? Allam al-khalaq al-insan, created man. Okay? So the one who created us is Allah, and the one who teaches us even speaking, is Allah. Now you speak English. How many of you are speaking Indonesian? Fluent? Fluent? Good. So what is the Indonesian language? Let's go walk around. Huh? Ayo kita jalan. Good. How about I walk on the street? Okay. You see the language is sometimes difficult, right? Okay, so you can imagine when your parents came to this country for the first time, it's really difficult to express themselves in English, like myself. Okay? It's not that easy. Now we can talk. You can talk. You can talk English. Maybe you have second language in the school, Hispanic or French, whatever that you have in the school. So you have some other languages around that you can speak. But if I ask you this question, who teaches you speaking? Now, how did you come to that conclusion? Do you develop that kind of words to express things to your friends around? If you are hungry, you say it to your mother, I'm hungry, I want to eat, or I need food. Now, who teaches you that the way, in order for you to fulfill and to feel that hunger, and to feel that hunger, you have to say certain words. Now, who teaches you? Allah. And that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Holy Quran, He says, among the signs of Allah, if you want to know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is so amazing, is so wonderful, okay, is so intelligent, is so smart, smarter than anybody and anyone else, Allah says, وَمِنْ آيَاتِهِ, and among His signs, is different color, if the different of your colors and tongues. Do you know what I mean of tongues? Languages. Okay? So different colors. Some people, do you have white people in your classes? In your class? No. Not all black?
No.
All Hispanic?
Yeah.
Oh, really? Oh. So all Asian and Hispanic?
Yeah.
And if you go somewhere in Texas, somewhere in Iowa, somewhere in the Midwest, probably you see a lot of white, right? Now you go to Chicago, you see many, many African. You go to Harlem, in New York, there's a lot of African, they're black. Now my question to you is, who made these people have different skin colors?
Allah.
Huh? Okay, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay. Your color is kind of brown. Look at your colors. What colors do you have? Huh? Yellow? Who feels white? Who feels that I'm white? Who feels that I'm black? Who feels that I'm brown? So what is your color?
Yellow.
Okay. Some people say yellow, some people say whatever. Now my question to you is this. Had you ever decided by yourself to have that kind of colors that you're having right now?
Yes.
Huh? Did you decide it by yourself?
Yes.
Did you choose it?
Yes.
How?
Yes.
Huh?
Yes.
Tannings for a few days. Okay. Did you tan yourself?
Yes.
Huh? Okay. So you said something that you'd never done it. Right? Okay. So there, who made that sunny day and hot days, weather? Okay. So that is what we call the ultimate answer. So everything that you are trying to do, sometimes you feel it, and sometimes, unfortunately, out of arrogance of human beings, that I can do it. In fact, it is not because of them. It is because of someone else behind it. And that is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay, so you go to the tanning, and you feel that you do it. But who gave them facilities of those tannings? Okay, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Those who created the facilities, the tools for tannings, must be the people who have minds, okay, and intelligence, smartness. But who gave them smartness? Who created them smart and intelligent? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay? And so there is a verse in the Holy Quran says like this. And remember this one. In order for you to understand that even your shape, the shape of your eyes, the shape of your nose, the shape of your lips, the color of your skin, short or high, okay, big or small, it is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who decides. So Allah says, هُوَ الَّذِي يُصَوِّرُكُمْ فِي الْأَرْحَامِ كَيْفَ يَشَاءُ. He's the one who formed you in the wombs. Do you know wombs? The womb of your mother, as He likes. So you didn't have intervention, okay? You don't have any intervention in that. And that's why every one of you must be proud of that, Allah's form, because the one who formed you is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You didn't form yourself. Okay? Now, again, coming back, the reason I'm talking about this, because it's very, very important for you to understand that there must be someone behind us who organizes. Okay, there must be someone who organizes, who manages, who forms, who decides everything in life. Okay? So are we firm on that? Are you strong in that faith? That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decides everything in life?
Yes.
Okay. You are taking the process.
Yes.
Now, you have something in mind what you would be in the future, right?
Yes.
What do you want to be?
A lawyer.
You want to be a doctor? You want to be a lawyer?
No.
You want to be what? You want to be a musician? You want to be what? You don't know yet? What do you want to be? Who want to be a senator? Who want to be a president? Great. You can be a mayor? You can be what? It's wonderful. Now, just think for a while. Think for a while. You want to be a lawyer. You want to be a doctor, you want to be a senator, you want to be a musician. Now, from now on, until then, you know what you have to do. Right? Going to school, studying hard, working very hard, okay, sleepless, less watching TV, less playing games, less Facebook, less chatting on the internet. Okay, so you know what you have in between. But there is no guarantee, and take my word, there's no guarantee that what you are having in mind right now and struggling for is going to be achieved by you. There's no guarantee. Okay? There is no guarantee. So what we have to do is just two things. Number one, do struggle as much as you can, study very well, study hard, okay, and be strong in your intention. You have to be determined, you have determination. It means that you have to be strong in the way that you want to achieve it. But once again, 100%, it is not in your hand. So there must be someone at the end of the day who will decide for you what is the best for you. And who is that? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know, when I was small, I wanted to be an army. I want to be a soldier. Do you know why? No, because I like to fight. I like to fight. But it didn't happen. Okay. When I went to the school, I finished my senior high school. And that is an Islamic school in Indonesia. You know, I was playing what we call silat. Who is playing kung fu here?
Oh, sorry.
You're playing silat?
Sorry.
Not anymore? You did. You still? Okay. And I did play silat, and then I went to the competition, and my arm was broken. So I cannot go to the assault because my head broken out. Okay. So you see, you know, sometimes what you wanted to be, it doesn't happen. You know, and if I became a soldier at that time, I'm not sitting here in front of you now. And I'm in the state. I'm not in the state. Okay? So for the whole life that I have, from the beginning till now, I do depend fully on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I do every possible way to achieve what I wanted to achieve. But again, I have to rely and to depend on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's very, very important. Do you know why? Because if you don't have that concept, if you don't have that in mind, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the real factor in any decision that you want to take in life, you are going either to be regretful or worst, to blame yourself. Okay? So it's very important that whatever Allah decides for you in the future, after doing every possible way, accept it and say what at the end of the day we say, Alhamdulillah. Praise be to Allah. Allah decides is the best for me. Now, I want you now to open the Holy Quran. I think Surah Luqman. Called Surah Luqman. I forgot the number of the Surah, but... Okay, Surah number 31. Surah number 31, chapter number 31. 1 second. Verse number 12 and up. So listen, I will read it for you in Arabic, and then I will ask you to read for me in translation. How many of you can read in Arabic Quran? Raise your hand. How many of you can read Quran in Arabic? One. Good? Fluent? You? You can read? Okay. So let me read for you in Arabic, and then I will ask some of you to read for me the translation. Listen.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ولقد آتينا لقمان الحكمة أن اشكر لله ومن يشكر فإنما يشكر لنفسه ومن كفر فإن الله غني حميد وإن قال لقمان لابنه وهو يعظه يا بني لا تشرك بالله إن الشرك لظلم عظيم وصينا الإنسان بوالديه حملته أمه وهنا على وهن وفصاله في عامين أن اشكر لي ولوالديك إلي المصير وإن جاهداك على أن تشرك بما ليس لك به علم فلا تطعهما وصاحبهما في الدنيا معروفا واتبع سبيل من أناب إلي ثم إلي مرجعكم فأنبئكم بما كنتم تعملون
Now, who can read for me the translation of the verse number 12? Yes. Mm-hmm.
Who's reading? Yeah, nobody hear you.
Bismillah.
Okay. All right. Repeat it.
We bestow in the past wisdom on Luqman. Show your gratitude to God, and who is so grateful does so to the profit of his own soul. But if any is ungrateful, verily God is free of all wants, worthy of all praise.
Wonderful. How about the number 13? Anybody can read number 13? Yeah, let her read it to your side. Yeah. Good.
Hello. Behold, Luqman said to his own son by way of instruction, O my son, do not join in worship with God, for false worship is indeed the highest wrongdoing.
Now, wonderful. Can anybody tell me what is the important point that you grasp, that you understand from these two verses? What's the point? When you read these two verses, maybe 1 point, maybe 2 points, maybe 3 points, what are the important points here? Anybody can tell me something about it? Hold on. Any important point? What Allah wanted to say, wanted to tell us? Huh? Anybody? Yes. You said something? Yeah. Okay, so there are several points basically. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. And we had certainly given Luqman wisdom. Now, this is one of the most important points. Wisdom. What is wisdom? Muslims must be wise people. And you are Muslims, you must be wise. But what is wisdom? And sometimes you say, no, be wise man. Hey girl, be wise. Now what is the meaning of wisdom? You know, many people around us say, no, be wise, be wise, be wise. But what is the meaning of wisdom? Wisdom basically has many, many meanings. But one of the most important meanings of wisdom is to have an absolute true knowledge and understanding. Okay? So if you don't know and if you don't have understanding, you are not wise. If you do understand the importance of mother and father in your life, and you know truly their role in your life, you are going to be wise in behaving to your parents. And the meaning of wisdom here is certainly respect, love, compassion, obedience, etc., etc. So wisdom basically means having true knowledge, having true understanding. And that's why it's very, very important to develop your understanding on everything else. Okay? So sometimes you know, but your knowledge is limited. Because your understanding is very, very limited. That is not wisdom that we are looking for. Okay? Secondly, the meaning of wisdom also, that what you know must be implemented, must be practiced. So now you know. We are Muslims, right? What are the requirements for us in order to protect our Islam, to be considered really, really real Muslims? What are the things that we have to do? Can you tell me, for example, what we have to do, boys? Now, in terms of practices, what we have to do? As Muslims, there are some requirements we have to do in order to be Muslims. What are things that we have to do? Yes. Yes. Okay. That is the knowledge. You know it, right? But let me ask you these questions, to be honest with you. How many of you prayed this morning? Yeah, honestly. See. 1, 2, 3. It's a good number in the girls. 4, 5. Wonderful. Now, You're the one who answer means unite. And that is the knowledge that you have in mind. But you're not wise. Why? Because you don't do it. Now it's not all. So wisdom here is that when you know, do it. Okay, when you know, do it. That is what we call wisdom. So coming back to this verse, to this ayah, look at again the translation. Allah gave Luqman wisdom. Number one, He gave him knowledge, true understanding of things. And number two, He gave him an ability to practice that knowledge. That is Luqman, alayhi salatu wasalam. Now, who is Luqman, first of all? Have you heard the story? No? Okay. Luqman basically is a very simple guy. He lived long time ago, long time before you were born. He lived in a desert. The desert somewhere in the Middle East. Okay. According to some people, he was an African type guy. He lived in a very simple life. He had a donkey. He has a small... He lived just in a small house made of mud. Made of... Clay. Yeah, clay. Made of clay. So he lived his life simply, very simple. With his wife and his son. Okay? According to the majority, he was not a prophet. He's not Nabi. He's not prophet. But he was very, very obedient to Allah. He's very, very righteous person. He's very salih, very nice, very good Muslim. Okay? So when his son grew up, he wanted to educate his son. Okay? At that time, there is no school, there is no college, there is no senior or high school, no formal school. So he didn't go to the school. He just using his mind and his brain to think about what is good in order to educate his son. But he was so obedient to Allah. He was so dutiful to Allah. He prayed, he made zikr. He's so close to Allah. Nice person. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala inspired to him, giving him inspiration on how to educate his children. Okay? And that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, I gave him wisdom, because Allah inspired him directly. Knowledge, how to educate his child. Okay? And that's why we do believe that sometimes people are knowledgeable, okay, out there, which is not necessarily that they are going to very, very prestigious universities. Some people are very smart and intelligent, and they didn't go to the very well-known university. Okay, now some people go to the very prestigious university because they have money, but basically they are dumb. Dumb. Okay, so that is the wisdom that we are looking for, right? Now, what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, anishkur lillah. The second point that you have to know from this verse is ashukur. Now, shukur is very, very important. What is the translation of shukur? How you say it in English? Shukur. Huh? How many of you know the meaning of shukur? Shukur. Huh? Huh? You deserve it? What else? Shukur. Girls? Boys? What does it mean of shukur? What? What's that? What's the word that you know? Huh? Thankfulness. Okay, appreciation. Okay, so sometimes here, I thank Allah, I do shukr to Allah, means I do thankfulness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I'm thanking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, the second point that you have to understand from this verse is the importance of shukr, the importance of thanking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Of every blessing that Allah is giving you. Now you are breathing in and out. The oxygen that you have in and out now belongs to whom? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Imagine this. Can you create it?
No.
Did you create it? So it didn't belong to you. Someone gives you. Okay? So now the oxygen that we breathe in and out right now must be come from someone else. And that is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who created it. Now you enjoy this every moment. Even when you sleep, you're still that, breathing in and out. Because if Allah hold that for you, just for a few seconds, or 1 minute, maybe you will not come back again to your life. Okay, let's say you are sleeping, right? Sleeping at night, going to your bed, and suddenly Allah hold the oxygen for you. What's going to happen?
Die.
Die. Okay. And that's why when you wake up in the morning, you say, Alhamdulillah, praise be to Allah. We thank Allah. Why? Because the oxygen is still moving. And because of that oxygen, you're still alive. Okay? And that's why the second one that Allah mentioned here is al-shukr, the importance of shukr. So you have to be thankful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala every time, every moment. Jam berapa kita salat? Oh, okay. 12:11 now. So that is the second one. Let me just give you a story, the importance of thinking. So sometimes you don't realize the blessings of Allah, right? And it all the times, you know, or many times that you don't know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is blessing you. I give you one story. I don't know if you have heard this before. There's some time ago, long time ago, there is a king in Africa. King, very powerful king. He had a very smart, loyal assistant. So every time that he went for hunting, they went together. And the assistant helped him to put the bullet to the weapon. Okay? But one day, the assistant made a blunder mistake, a big mistake. He put the bullet in the wrong way. So when the king wanted to shoot the animal, the bullet came back and hits his finger. So 3 of his fingers cut off. So he was so upset and angry. Very much hurt. So he was so upset and angry, he fired his assistant, not only fired him, but he jailed him too. So he sent him to the jail. After some months, or maybe after some years, he wanted to go to hunt again for hunting. So he went by himself. But he made a mistake. He went to an area where cannibals, you know cannibals? Cannibals live. People eating people. So he went to that place. So he was catched. He was arrested. Catched by those people. And he was tied. Okay? And the people prepared big, huge fire. He was ready to be barbecued. Huh? Wait. Let me finish the story. Oh, really? Okay. So what happened is that those cannibals had a superstition. Yeah, so they said, if you eat a person who is not complete, not perfect, God will curse you and the punishment of God will come down and all of you will be destroyed. So when he was tied like this, and he was ready to be barbecued, his hand over the fire, ready to be barbecued, some people saw his hand, that his hand is not perfect. So the people scream, say, no, don't barbecue, don't eat him, free him, because he's not a perfect guy, let him go. Otherwise, the curse of God, the curse of Allah is coming down, all of you will be destroyed. So he was freed. When he was freed, the first one he remembered was this guy in the prison. So he went directly to the prison, and he hugged him and he said, thank you so much, you saved my life, thank you so much. So that guy was so surprised, you know, said, what happened? You were so angry to me, you jailed me, and now you are coming, hugging me and thanking me. What happened, sir? He said, because, and he mentioned the story. He said, if you didn't do that, I could have been a complete person, and probably, I had been barbecued. So now the guy, his assistant hugged him back. And he says, sir, I'm the one who thank you. Thank you so much, thank you so much, thank you. See what happened to you? I fire you, I jail you, and then you say thank you, and say yes sir. Say why? He said, if you didn't fire me, I could have been with you. And I'm a perfect person. See? So my point to you that sometimes you don't realize the blessings of Allah, right? You're eating his food, you don't think this is Allah's blessing. You're sleeping nice at night, you don't think this is Allah's blessing. You're drinking his water, you don't think this is Allah's blessing. You are breathing his oxygen in and out, you don't think. That is the importance of shukr. Okay? So did you grasp the second point from there? the importance of shukr. Okay, وَلَقَدْ أَعْتَيْنَا لُقْمَانَ الْحِكْمَةَ أَنِشْكُرْ لِلَّهِ. Okay, أَنِشْكُرْ لِلَّهِ, the importance of shukr. So every time you say Alhamdulillah. Sometimes, you know, even when you have something difficult in life, still you need to say Alhamdulillah. Do you know why is that? Yeah? Because see those who are less unfortunate than you. The Prophet Muhammad said, always see to those who are less than you. In terms of money, in terms of this worldly thing. And then you say, Alhamdulillah, I am still alive at least. Secondly, even if sometimes you feel sad, that is also needed sometimes and it is a blessing. So if you cannot be sad, let's say, every time you are happy, every time you are smiling and laughing and never sad. So what happened if you are not able to be sad and suddenly your mother died? And you are just laughing and smiling around. What do people say? This girl is crazy. This boy is crazy. Okay. So you see, sometimes even being sad is a blessing from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's why you say thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay. A lot of things to say, but let's go move forward. Anishkuli, okay. وَمَنْ يَشْكُرْ فَإِنَّمَا يَشْكُرُ لِنَفْسِهِ Whoever thank, get thankfulness for himself. وَمَنْ كَفَرْ فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ غَنِيٌّ حَمِيدٌ Whoever is not thankful, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is self-efficient, worthy to be praised. Now the second one is the importance of believing in the oneness of Allah. Allah says, when Luqman said to his son, while he was instructing him, oh my son, do not associate anything with Allah in worship. Now, have you ever heard the word Tawheed? Believing in the oneness of Allah, believing in one Allah. What is called in Arabic language? This is called Tawheed. Tawheed means believing in the oneness of Allah. The opposite of Tawheed is Shirk. Okay? Oh, enggak ada itu ya? Okay, so Tawheed means oneness of Allah, believing in the oneness of Allah, and the opposite is Shirk. Shirk means believing that Allah has partners. There is other gods beside Allah. This is called Shirk. So here in this ayah, in this particular verse of the Holy Quran, Luqman said to his son, do not associate Allah with any partner. It's very important. Let me ask you this question. As Muslims, do you believe in one Allah?
Yes.
Okay. But can you tell me what does it mean to believe in one Allah? To believe in one God. Now what is the explanation of believing in one God? There's only one God. There are three things that you have to know. Okay? In order to believe in one God. Number one, that Allah is the only exist God, or God exists. So it is about His existence. No God exists but Him, number one. Number two, that one God exists is very unique. Can you see me? Can you see things behind the wall? Can you see it? Okay. Now we say Allah sees. Allah is seeing, right? Do you think, as your sight is limited by this wall, do you think Allah's sight is limited by the wall?
No.
Okay. Now, do you know what is in my mind?
No.
Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Okay. So it means, when you hear me saying something, you know it, but you don't know what is in my mind. I made something which is different from my mind. Do you think Allah doesn't know what's in my mind?
Yeah.
Do you think Allah knows what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Okay, so Allah knows both. Allah knows what I'm saying and Allah knows what I'm thinking. You are limited by what you're hearing, what you hear only. That is about you and that is about Allah. And that's why we say the second thing about the oneness of Allah is He is unique. He is not comparable to any. Okay? And I'm going to talk a little bit longer after that. And the third one is, since He is the only God exists, He's the God that is unique. He's incomparable to any. We worship none but Him. That's why we pray for Allah, we eat for Allah, we sleep for Allah, everything is for Allah, right? Our life is for Allah. In the language of the Prophet, inna salati, my prayer, wa nusuki, my sacrifice, wa mahayati, in my life, even my death, belong to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Everything else for Allah. That is the third one. But let me go back to the first one. No God exists but Allah. What does it mean? Okay. Now the explanation is, let me ask you this question to make it simple. How many presidents of the United States at this time? At this time? Okay. I didn't say in the history. I'm saying at this time. So it's only one, right? What is his name? Okay. Obama. Barack Obama. Who's Maraco? Barack Hussein Obama. Okay. Now, let me ask you questions. He is one president. Now, there is one Allah, one God. What is the difference between one president and one Allah?
There is nothing before him.
Yes.
Oh, right.
Yes, you raise your hand.
There is nothing before him.
Okay, good. And then?
Allah has unlimited power. That's it.
Great. Anything else?
Oh.
Yes?
Obama can't read my mind.
Obama can't read your mind. Okay, good. In reference to his existence, that one president exists and one God exists is absolutely what he said. Number one, he is not the only president in the history. Past, present, and future. This is the history. The history is past, present, and future. It's past, present, and future. Now, when you talk about God, Allah, He is the past, the present, and the future. Do you think many centuries ago, our grandparents worshipped different God? It's the same God. It's the same God they're worshipping today. Okay? Do you think your grandchildren in the future will worship different God?
No.
Same. The same. Because even though they express differently, okay, they also believe in the same God. Okay? And so, God is not affected. But the Hindus people worship in idols, and that is the mistake. But God, at the end of the day, is not affected. God is still there. Okay? So God is still one. Okay? That is the difference between Obama and Allah is in his oneness. That one president is limited by only 4 plus 4, maybe only 4 years, maybe only 8 years. And then he's finished, not president anymore. Right? But God is not limited by the time. In the language of the Holy Quran, huwa al-awwal wal-akhir. He has no beginning, He has no ending. That is God that we know. Number two, Barack Obama, when he went to Indonesia, do you think Indonesian people say he's my president?
No.
Okay. So means Barack Obama is limited by?
American
territorial bounds. You go out to Canada, he's not president anymore. Do you think if you go to Canada, you will worship different God there?
No.
When you go to Africa, you have different God there?
No.
So the same God. So I mean God is everyone. That is the meaning of oneness in his existence. Okay? It's not limited by time. It's not limited by space. So God is absolute one in his existence. Exists only one God. In all history, in all places, everywhere, every time. That is the meaning of one God. Okay? Number two, that he is absolute in his characteristic. You see, God sees. Your sight is limited. God's sight is not limited. You know, God knows. Your knowledge is limited. God's knowledge is not limited. And that's why this is just to give you one example. In Islam, God is not allowed to be put into any physical image. Right? Is there anything here physically representing God?
No.
You don't have. Right? There's no idols, no picture, nothing. Why? It's very simple. Because when you put God in the physical image, then that physical image has many limitations. So let's say a picture of a tiger. They say, a tiger is God. See, why is not elephant? See, elephant's big. Oh, no, I want smart one, rabbit. Okay. Oh, no, I want bigger. Maybe like, what? Whatever. So you have different opinions on those physical representations. Now, maybe you say, no, must be human being. As Christian people or Catholic people, they have this representation. Okay, but they have this picture, a person as representation of God. Now, let's say all of us agree that Allah is represented by a human being, physical being, as a human, a person. Now, that person has many limitations. Okay, number one, why God is not she? It's not male, a female. Okay, let's say we agree.
Male has more power than a female.
Okay, let's say we agree.
Oh,
not necessarily, right? Sometimes females are more powerful than male. It depends on which power you're talking about, right? Right? It depends.
I think that males can have more power than a female.
Okay, girls. Let's say.
Mm-hmm. Let's say if you're with your wife in bed, right? Listen.
Yeah, say it.
Robber in your house. You're not going to wake up your wife and tell her, oh, get the gun or then do something, right? Obviously, the male's going to do something.
Yeah, it depends. Let me answer that. It depends on the situation. If the husband is already hit by the robber, by the person, then he cannot move anything, right? The wife should took the gun and kill the robber, okay? It depends on the situation. By the way, it's not my issue here. My issue here is that, let's say, girls, you agree that God must be female.
No.
You agree or not?
No.
Now, let's say, just supposedly.
Why?
My point is that God, if God is represented by a human being, by a person, then that person has many limitations. Number one is gender limitation. Why is not male? Why is not female? Let's say we agree. Okay? Let's say we agree that God must be represented by male. That male must be either white, black, Hispanic, Chinese, Korean, Asian, or African, whatever. Now, so you see him as all times European guy, blonde, blue eyes, Hidung Mancung. Do you know Hidung Mancung?
No.
What is in English Hidung Mancung? It's Hidung Mancung, okay? Like Pinocchio. So you can imagine. So my point is to you, this is very serious. Because sometimes your Christian will ask you, your Christian friends will ask you, you know, we pray very easier because we see our God. Right? We have God's picture. So, but you don't see. So how are you going to answer? You just answer this one. That when you see your God, that God is not God because that God is limited by men. Why your God is always European, German type person? Never even African type person. Okay? But I went to Cape Town. There was time in the past where European people are dumb people. Okay? They are not educated. They are not civilized. Okay? So do you think God is not civilized at that time? So my point is simply God cannot be put into any physical images because when you put God into physical image, that physical image represents a lot of limitations. And God is not limited by any. God is perfect. God is everything else. All right? That is the meaning of La Tushrik. Masalat?
Okay. We gonna have break for Zuhr prayer. And but 15 minutes and we come back here. Okay? So everybody get wudu and we're gonna have the Zuhr prayer. Thank you.